Welcome to this week's edition of the Wipro Cybersecurity by Cybersecurus podcast. I'm Evan Shubin. Of the massive numbers of enterprise cybersecurity headaches that CISOs have to handle, perhaps one of the most frustrating is post-breach analysis. And the fact that attackers often delete or modify logs is just one of the reasons. Even when full forensic probes are completed within perhaps a week of the attack, those results have limited reliability. It's common for subsequent forensic analysis performed a month or two later to contradict many of the details from the initial report. That inability to immediately identify the exact nature of the attack, including a precise description of what data was impacted and whether all malware was found and removed, that is bad enough on its own. But given the SEC cybersecurity requirement of reporting findings within 4 days of an incident being ruled material, that goes from bad to disastrous. Is there a meaningfully better way? Well, there actually might be. Rich Greco, the global head of critical incident response at Wipro, has had significant success with different methods of data capture. That holds the potential for identifying with high reliability all of the salient details of an attack within hours of its discovery. So, Rich, how are you able to grab so much more data than enterprises today are used to?
There's always lots of data being collected. Our focus is on collecting the right data and the data that's most meaningful to the case.
How do you determine what details are meaningful right up front? Because a lot of complaints are that they grab everything because they have no idea at that early point what's going to be needed later on. How do you make more sophisticated choices?
Well, a lot of that comes down to knowing what it is that you're looking for in the first place. More often than not, you see an over-grab of information when you're not sure exactly what you're looking for or what's there. But if you go into a cyber event recognizing that there are only certain things you're looking for evidence that execution or something has happened, and you're looking for evidence that data has been manipulated or moved or taken, you can really hone in on what you look for in the first place and pre-scope what it is that you're collecting so that it's the most impactful and you can do it in a quickly and in efficient manner.
Part of the problem that we touched on in the opening is not just the data being collected, but the reliability of that data. How do you try to get around that problem?
So reliability is often a challenge, especially considering what you're stuck being reliable against is what's already pre-configured as far as what's being logged, what's being retained, how long the retention period is. You've got to focus on ways to correlate it beyond just its own self-evident worth. You got to look at multiple log sources that point to a certain activity or multiple artifacts that indicate a certain action happened. When you have more than one just piece of evidence pointing towards something, it helps drive the fidelity and the reliability of that finding up.
There is a question about the reliability of the logs themselves. A, where the attacker could either delete some logs or in some cases, often state actor cases, they will plant bogus logs to throw forensic investigators off the scent. How do you deal with that aspect of making sure that the logs are meaningful and relevant?
These logs don't live by themselves and they're not independent by themselves. They live in a broader ecosystem of other system activities that are happening. And so when taken in the broader context of all the things that are going on, it oftentimes there are patterns that you expect to see when a certain logging level is achieved. And when something fails to be there, that's usually an indication that logs have been tampered with or deleted. And then it's verified when you look at the secondary log sources that would actually show there should be, say, a log-on entry here because something else loaded that is indicative of a sign-on, but it's not directly tied to that. Whereas in other situations, just looking at timestamp manipulation that is common amongst threat actors, you can see that there are nuances in the way the timestamps, no timestamp ever stops on four zeros of decimal precision per second, yet most time stomping is very predictably easy to find. And then, of course, planting information at the nation state level very sophisticated. Those are not the cases you're going to figure out in a couple hours.
There has been a lot of efforts dealing with backups. Now, those often can take a few days to do a meaningful comparison, but oftentimes you can have a backup that ostensibly is, you know, whether it's air-gapped or it's off-site, so you know this was not tampered with, and the comparison can sometimes yield clues. How often is that a meaningful factor?
Backups can be great. People just need to realize backups are not silver bullets. Backups are great for being able to recover transactional databases. They're great for being able to recover artifacts and bits of information that were synced in a reasonable amount of time before anybody had time to delete them. However, most malware will actually do a lot of cleanup in a period that is much smaller than the differential backup windows. So the backups are really best for the long-term logs and the recovery of the operating systems and database states. But nobody's pulling up their backups and immediately getting back to business as usual, because more often than not, those backups will also include the backdoor that the threat actor was using as a persistence hook into that system. Backups are great for recovering the data. They're not always great for immediate business continuity.
Right. No, I appreciate that. I wasn't asking about backups for the continuity element, the operational side. I was talking solely about them giving clues for the forensic analysis as to what was really touched.
Absolutely. And to that point, then definitely it can give you a good indication as to what's going on. It just depends on what type of scenario you're talking about and what type of artifacts you're looking for, because the differential backup window is often, say, once daily or once every 30 minutes. If you're talking about, you know, high transaction database, it might actually be a lot quicker. Like I've seen them, you know, every 30 seconds on high value databases. So in some cases, yeah, the backups are really awesome as far as a treasure trove of information.
What is it that your approach would capture that the typical enterprise approach wouldn't? What are the key differences in the approaches?
When you look at critical incident response, more often than not, it's being done by an outside firm, usually that specializes in doing this type of specific service. There'll be a retainer or an agreement of some sort in order to make sure that they're available when this comes around. I've been around, I've worked at a lot of different IR shops, been there and worked on a lot of processes. And the downside to almost all of them is they're all reactive in nature. They all wait for an incident to happen. And then once an incident happens, they come in, they'll have network monitoring tools. They may even have a hook into your, you know, particular EDR or MDR solution. And they'll have a bunch of custom triage and collection scripts that need to be manually run in order to collect information. And oftentimes, where the investigation starts is nowhere near where patient zero actually happened. And it's a race against time to recover information, build a forensically meaningful narrative that advances the story, and that information being deleted in the course of recovering the entire environment, because there's limited disk space, there's limited compute. You know, businesses have to get back to business. So our approach is very different in that when you sign a retainer with us, we pre-stage a zombie agent on your systems. And the zombie agent is not an EDR or an AV or anything that's going to add computational load to your environment, which is often the biggest problem with yet another agent issues coming up in today's security world. This is a very passive agent that is only forensic in nature and only does something when instructed to do so from the control server. So by having this pre-staged, when you have an IR retainer with us, you can call us and immediately we begin collecting information. And if you've ever been through a major incident, you realize if you were to kick off triages on every single system and each triage package ends up being half a gig or more, that can cripple your network real quickly if all that data is flowing out. So this forensic process is actually doing a lot of the pre-processing on the endpoints, and only the metadata about the results are going up. So this allows us to collect meaningful data across the entire enterprise at scale in parallel without crashing the network. And when you have data that is that specific, that targeted, and that spread out, you can draw a much more full picture of what's going on, even in the early stages, than you ever could hope to. 48 hours later, you're still just getting the first triage package and setting up an SFTP in the cloud to upload all of your triages to. There's lots of different parts that go into the whole process, but when we sat down and we thought about designing this, the intent was to build it to be making up for all the things that we saw a lot of our competitors doing and all the things that were really bottlenecks to getting the right data and getting it before it gets deleted.
A lot of CISOs are frustrated given their massively expanding environments, cloud, remote sites, IoT, mobile, partner environments with extensive privileges, etc., that because of that, they're finding that a lot of their SIMs are inadequate to the task.
So yeah, the SIM problem is a huge problem, and it's a problem that's only getting bigger and bigger for everyone because, like you said, companies are growing through acquisitions, more and more items are getting logged, more and more data is getting collected, which becomes bigger and bigger bills at the end of every month when it starts coming to the processing and storing of all this information. And so because we start with this approach of focusing on what logs, what indicators, what artifacts actually move the narrative forward and help us actually advance the story, we often will get into after action items on an event or an investigation that get into the, I guess you'd say, the tuning of what it is that you're collecting, how you're collecting it, whether it's relevant. There are thousands and thousands of Windows event logs, but a lot of them don't really tell you anything meaningful about, say, a security incident or what happened with files, because that's not really their intended purpose. Their intended purpose is a system function, and we're just using a lot of these events as ancillary indicators for our forensic process. So yeah, oftentimes we'll have a lot of very specific, very tailored advising after an incident, and if client so chooses, before an incident arises. We have done quite a bit of consulting around log optimization, and this can go towards higher fidelity alerts for your SOC. This can go to closing things quicker with your detections, and it can go to measurable impacts to your bottom line when it comes to how much storage and compute you're consuming each month in your SIM.
For this week's edition of the Wipro Cybersecurity by Cybersecurist podcast, I'm Evan Schumann. Have a secure and compliant week.